I'm in Ephesians chapter 5. You cannot speak about being a spirit-filled husband without going to Ephesians 5. Wouldn't you agree? Ephesians chapter 5. This is a session for you that want to be a better husband, a more Christ-like husband, a godlier husband. This is for you that are married and you that someday think you might be. And so find Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. On the subject of being a spirit-filled husband. All right, when you found it, Ephesians chapter 5, we'll begin reading in verse 18. It's impossible to speak much at all on the family without going here. Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 18 in just a moment. Ephesians 5, verse 18. Your Bible says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." I suppose all of you are familiar with those verses, aren't you? If you've been in church much at all, you should know those. Hold your place in Ephesians 5. We'll come back to that. So put a marker there if you can at all. And turn over to the book of 1 Peter. And let me read to you some verses from 1 Peter chapter 3. Really one verse, 1 Peter chapter 3. And Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 also challenges us men with this statement. 1 Peter 3:7, when you found it, say amen. Sounds like most of you. Verse 7, "Likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge." Have you ever heard the redneck statement? "Just can't understand women." You ever heard that? Well, you can't say that if you're a spirit-filled husband. Because the Bible says you are to understand your wife. "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Is it important to be a spirit-filled husband? Well, this passage teaches very clearly and most definitely that it is, because it will hinder your spiritual life if you're not the husband you ought to be. So if you know there's trouble, if you know you're a little bit on the grouchy, irritable, jerkish side of things, if you know that you're harsh and unloving and always arguing and fussing and your marriage is characterized by unhappiness, then I got bad news for you. You can't be right with God. Because here he reminds us of the spiritual truth that the way I relate to my wife is a direct effect on my own prayer life, my relationship to God. That's a loaded verse, isn't it? Take your Bible to one Old Testament passage. I want to read to you Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5, and a passage that's somewhat uncomfortable to read at times, but a passage that I want to draw your attention to for a brief meditation. Proverbs 5, verses 18 and 19. Actually, Solomon is writing to his son about being married, and really he's writing to his son about purity, and he reminds his son that all of us have a choice when we are married between turning to, he uses a water picture. I think it was Matthew Poole who said, the choice in Proverbs 5 is you can either take drinks from the dirty, contaminated puddle water of the street, or you can drink out of the clear, clean, cool well. And he's talking about a strange woman versus a man's relationship to his wife. And to fully understand the picture of that, you've got to think of a culture before there was septic systems. You've got to think of a culture where you go to a third world country, like Brother Self and I do sometimes, to Haiti or to the Philippines, where it would not be uncommon for the septic water to be running down the street. Think what it means, the sewage water to be running down the street. Solomon is saying to his son, better for you to take a drink out of that, picture the strange woman, adultery, pornography, whatever the garbage is of a sexual sense. He said, your choice is you're going to turn to that, or you take a drink out of a clear, clean, cool well by having a right relationship to your wife. And here's how he says the part about the right relationship to your wife in verse 18, Proverbs 5, verse 18. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times and be thou ravished always with her love. Here's God's plan in a marriage. Guys, he says to us that first of all, there ought to be blessing in our marriage. Your marriage ought to be a blessing to you. Now, if it's not this morning, then it ought to be a major matter of prayer and examination in your heart. You may not be able to change a wife, but you can change you. You may not be able to change her thinking, but you can change yours. She may never become a better wife, but you can be a better husband through the Holy Spirit. There ought to be blessing in your marriage. Your blessing. Notice in verse 18, there ought to be rejoicing. Men ought to be happy when they're married. They ought to be rejoicing with the wife of their youth. Be on guard, gentlemen. Be on guard. Be on guard. It is not spirit-filled when I'm sarcastic about my wife. When I'm always, there's a place for humor. I'm aware there's a place for humor, and sometimes we men can be funny. But you know, I know some men that are always sarcastic about their wife, that are always belittling their wife, that are always joking about their wife, that are always tearing down their wife, and there's no rejoicing about it. There's none at all. I know a whole lot of this millennial group that we talk about that don't even know whether or not they really ought to get married because they've never seen a happy, romantic, loving, gracious, great marriage. If you have children living in your house and your marriage is not great, you're affecting your children's view of marriage. The spirit-filled marriage, a spirit-filled husband is important because it affects all kinds of things. There ought to be rejoicing if you're married. You ought to be happily married. Make a huge deal about your spouse. Make a huge deal about your wife. Make a huge deal about it. Praise your wife. You remember Jesus bore our reproach. Sometimes we as men, if our wife's running late, we get all bothered about it. And we, you know, that woman of mine's making me late. And you know, Jesus wasn't that way at all. Jesus bore our reproach. Jesus took my failure. And you're to bear your wife's. You're to be that kind of husband. That's a tall order. You ought to be that happy about your wife. You ought to be so madly in love with your wife that you couldn't be happier. That's the plan. And then look at verse 19. He says, you're to be satisfied in your marriage. You're to be satisfied with your wife and only with your wife. I mean, there's no place for pornography, no place for adultery, no place for fornication. Your wife is the only acceptable place for satisfaction in the physical sense of a marriage. I'm being holy and sacred, but I'm telling you, if you're married, you should know what this means, and you should learn this verse and practice this verse and communicate this verse to your wife because it's that important. There's to be complete satisfaction in marriage. And then notice there's to be ravishing at the end of verse 19. That's a great word. You're to be ravished with your love for your wife. You know, one of the definitions of that word is to be intoxicated. I've kind of felt a little intoxicated here. This is an intoxicating place, isn't it? I mean, the services have been kind of intoxicating, haven't they? In fact, I got up this morning thinking, man, have I got a hangover? This has been so good, man. I feel like I got a hangover. This is great. I'm not sure what a hangover feels like, but if it does, this is probably what it feels like. Think. We're to be ravished with our wives. We're to be intoxicated. It does not mean, I can tell you what it does not mean. It does not mean if I was married to her, I'd drink too. That is not what it means. It means I am so in love with my wife that I'm intoxicated, that I'm just madly in love. You know, it's a sad thing that Hollywood actors play a better marriage sometimes than Christian men. Well, that's a shame. It's a shame that Hollywood people, can I use the old term, shacking up together, seem to have a better relationship than some of us who are married. So being a spirit-filled husband's vital. It's Christ-like. It's God's expectation for you as a man if you're married, that you're a spirit-filled husband. Three things I'm thinking of if you're taking notes. Three things I want to share with you about being a Spirit-filled husband. And the first one is this, and I'll go back to Ephesians 5 pretty much for the rest of my comments. In Ephesians 5, I want to suggest to you that a Spirit-filled husband recognizes that he cannot be a Christ-like husband without divine help. Now, that was a loaded statement and a big one, so if you're taking notes, I'll say it again. A Spirit-filled husband recognizes that he cannot be a Christ-like husband without divine help. Here's my job as a husband. Really, it's pretty simple. You do know this, don't you? Your spiritual responsibility as a husband is fairly simple. God's not real deep. God's not real detailed about your responsibility as a husband. You go to a Christian bookstore. You ever bought a book on being the right kind of husband? I'm not opposed to them. I read them as often as I can because I want all the help I can get. The book, The Exemplary Husband, that he held up for us yesterday, I have that book. I've read it. I think you ought to read it. I'm for reading books on being the right kind of husband. But have you ever noticed that you buy a book on being the right kind of husband, it's 250 pages long? Or you can go to the Bible. And here's what the Bible says. Just love your wife like Christ loved the church. Lead your home. That's about the extent of it right there. Here's all you got to do. All you got to do as a husband is love your wife like Christ loved his church. That's it. You've got to love your wife like Christ loves his church. And you got to lead your home. That's your divine responsibility. How many of you are aware of the fact that that sounds so simple, but is impossible? Isn't it? Can you love your life? Can you love your wife like Christ loved his church? Did Christ love his church? Answer that question. You sure? How do you know? He gave himself for it. You could say it like this. He showed it. How do I know Christ loved his church? Because he showed it. It wasn't a statement. It was a demonstration. He demonstrated it. Christ loved his church, and I know he did because 2,000 years ago, he took my shame, my sorrows, my sin, and went to an old rugged cross and died in my place, suffering my punishment and my judgment. He demonstrated he loved me, and there's no doubt about it. I was preaching at a camp many years ago to juniors. You know what it's like to speak to juniors. Some of you have done it, haven't you? Juniors, you got to stand on your head. You got to light things on fire. You got to have tricks. You've got to go nuts. You've got to go crazy. You've got to keep them going. You've got to keep them with you because they're like chickens. You ever had chickens? Juniors are like chickens. They're just like all over creation. And so you got to keep them with you. And I was preaching to these juniors and they were tired. They had driven all day to get to camp and they're weary and they'd been hot and now they're in an air-conditioned auditorium and I get to try to keep them awake for preaching. And so I was trying to get them involved, and I was preaching about Jesus loving us, and I went the other way. I said, you know, boys and girls, the reason we know Jesus loved us is because he showed it. The Bible says it's like a husband who loves his wife. I said, if your dad and mom are what they ought to be, your dad shows your mom he loves her. And I said, boys and girls, how could a husband show his wife he loves her? Juniors, or teenagers are like, they won't respond. You got one or two weirdos like, I know, Juniors are the opposite. You're like, I know, I got the answer. And so they just started shouting them out. One little boy said, he could tell her. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Hey, baby doll, I love you. Hey, schnookums, I love you. Smoopsy poo, I love you. I'm amazed at how many men in our family conferences never say it. One guy said to me one time, I'm German. And we just don't say stuff like that. I hope I didn't offend him, but I said to him, well, I think you just build yourself a stinking bridge and get over it. Because a husband ought to love his wife, and one of the things he ought to do is show it. He ought to tell her. Right? One kid, I got all kinds of answers. It was hilarious. This one kid raised his hand, and everybody finally shouted over everything. Everybody just shouts it out when you're talking to juniors. But one little guy on the front row did not shout it out. He just had his hand up. And so I did it. I fell for it. Said, son, how can a husband show his wife he loves her? He's from Georgia. And he spoke, one of them southern accents. He said, well, he said he could buy her some fried chicken. I just got to tell you, I lost the crowd, lost the service, lost my train of thought. But I couldn't help but wonder, where in the world did that come from? I have been in trouble before and bought my wife, you know, a dozen roses. But never occurred to me to go to Kentucky Fried Chicken and buy her a dozen chicken legs. I wondered, reckon his mama's a big woman. Daddy must buy her a whole lot of fried chicken legs. Well, that's a strange answer, isn't it? Listen, here's the only job you have as a husband. You're to love your wife like Christ loved his church. And I will tell you right now, you can't do that. There's not a man in this room smart enough, brilliant enough, wise enough, good looking enough, married long enough, educated enough to love your wife like Christ loved the church. And that's why he starts this section, I think, with saying, don't be drunk with wine. You need to be filled with the Spirit. Because a Spirit-filled husband recognizes that he cannot be a Christ-like husband without divine help. You're selfish. You have a tendency to be grouchy, don't you? You have a tendency to be impatient and irritable. You have a tendency as a man to get irritated about things. You have a tendency as a man to clam up. You have a tendency as a man to be bothered that she talks more than you do. You have a tendency as a man to be bothered by her emotional state. But Christ isn't bothered by me. When I blow it, he still loves me. When I fail, he's gentle. When I'm a rebel, he cares. Can I say it? When I do something stupid, he restores me. That's how I'm supposed to be to my wife. You want a good example of a good husband? Don't look at your pastor. Look at Jesus. That's your standard. That's why I'm saying you better know about the Holy Spirit, because you can't do it. As a husband, you've got to recognize that you need divine help. You ought to pray every day, God, I've got to love my wife. That's my responsibility, and I can't do it. God, my standard is so high, I will never meet the standard. And the word is never. I can't meet that. I have no capacity to love my wife the way Christ loves me. I can't do that. I'm human. I'm easily bothered. I'm easily troubled. I get bent out of shape. I get more loyal to me than I am to her. You men are this way, aren't you? Aren't we inherently selfish? Don't we struggle with our emotions? I mean, we men, you know, that woman of mine is emotional. Well, so are we. We just don't spill it all out and cry. We clam up and punch something. At least a lot of men do, don't they? And some sorry men will punch even their wife. That's a word from my mom, sorry. My mom would say, he's pretty low down sorry. And she's right. Whatever it means, she's right. Y'all with me? You're to love like Christ, and you can't do it. And that's why you need the help of the Holy Spirit. Here's the second truth I want to share with you. A Spirit-filled husband, number two, depends on the Holy Spirit to help him love like Jesus. Now, that's almost a statement, a restatement of what I just said. A Spirit-filled husband recognizes that he cannot be a Christ-like husband without divine help. And number two, a Spirit-filled husband depends on the Holy Spirit to help him love like Jesus. You know what I've learned in my life? I have learned in my life that when I'm a little bothered about something in my marriage, when my wife and I are having a little bit of a moment of intensity in a situation in my marriage where she's wrong. Sorry. In those kind of situations, you know, my tendency is to react. It is amazing how often in our marriages we react. We get self-focused. Very seldom in our marriages do we stop long enough in our heart to cry out to God. God, something's wrong in my relationship to my wife, and I don't know what to do about it, and I need help. When's the last time you asked the Holy Spirit of God to help you respond properly to your wife? My tendency is to get irritated. Why are you so bothered about this, for crying out loud? It's just homeschooling five kids all day. Start at 8, finish at 10 o'clock that night. I mean, it's just homeschooling. People have educated their kids for centuries. See, you and I can chuckle at that because that's a little bit extreme, but not much. Am I right or wrong? Well, for crying out, honey, why couldn't you have made the bed? I've been at work for 9 hours. All you have at home is 3 kids. I've been working with 25 people all day, and all you got is 3 kids. Isn't it amazing how unchristlike we can be? See, you've got to have the Spirit's help to help you respond to your wife, to love like Jesus. You've got to depend on Him. You've got to say, Lord, I don't know what to say right here, and I know if I open my mouth, I'm going to say the wrong thing. How many of you men have ever opened your mouth and said the wrong thing and didn't even know what you said that was wrong? Isn't that amazing? But there is a God in heaven who can change that in your life because He knows what ought to be said. And sometimes the Holy Spirit of God will prompt your heart to say nothing, to listen gently. Sometimes He'll prompt your heart to say something lovingly, like, I'm sorry. I care. Or what my dad says. My dad, I've learned a lot from my dad. My dad listens. My dad is a great listener to my mom. He listens. She's a worrier. And my mom just worries about everything and everybody. My mom called me sometimes ago, and we're talking on the phone, and I haven't lived in Tennessee in years, and I don't know the people there. But my mom calls me all the time. It's been 20-some years since I lived in Tennessee, and she'll say, son, you know so-and-so? I go, no, I don't think so. Yes, you do. You remember they were married to John's third cousin's brother's sister's uncle's father's child? You know, do you lie? Yeah, I know them. Because by the time you get it figured out, you're so confused in your mind, you're not even sure you were born in Tennessee. And my mom does that to my dad all the time. And my dad has learned to listen. He has learned to listen. And my dad will say things like this to my mom all the time. He'll say, well. And sometimes he goes out on a limb and says something like this. They. And my mom just loves him to death for it. She just thinks he's a great husband because he says things like, well. Well, my wife and I aren't Tennesseans any longer. She's from Ohio and I'm from Tennessee and we live in Florida. But you know, I've learned to listen to the Holy Spirit. My wife was really bothered recently and I went out with coffee and she had a lot in her heart and it just spilled out. And, you know, she fussed about the kids and me and myself and revivals and pastors and traveling in an RV and evangelism. And, you know, there's a tendency in my heart to go, what in the world? God's called us to do this. And I am a man of God serving Jesus. Well, I've learned that she is designed by God. She needed to get it out. And so, you know, my tendency, my heart's going, I can just fix this right now because something's just not right here. But I depended on the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit kept prompting me, listen. So I listened. We drank coffee and drove home and I listened. I said, well. And honestly, I finished the date. We pull up in the driveway and I turn off the van and I'm thinking to myself, you know, my heart's like, what in the world? And my wife reaches over and she grabs my hand and she says, thank you, honey. You're the best husband in the world. I feel so much better. And I'm going, I ain't got a clue what I just did. I have no idea, but thank you. And see, honestly, in myself, I can't do that. But when I depend on the Holy Spirit and I say, God, you've got to help me to be Christ-like. And I seek Him about it and I listen for His voice in my relationship to my wife. It's called depending on Him. It's called looking to Him. It's called listening to His voice to lead you in your marriage. And gentlemen, most of you men never listen to the Holy Spirit. You never ask Him for wisdom. You never ask Him to guard your words. You never ask Him to know what to say. He is Almighty God, and He lives in your life. You are indwelt by the Spirit of God, and He commands you to be filled. That's not some kind of mystical thing that brings us to great excitement in a church service. That is a divine truth given to you by God Himself, because He knows you can't be what you ought to be without divine help. And so He moved into your life and says, all right, here's what I'll do. I'll help you. If you'll listen to me, I'll guide your lips. I'll guide your thoughts. I'll guide your eyes. I'll guide your hands. I'll tell you what to say. I will direct you. I'll help you to know how to respond. And you know what? Perhaps there is no greater place to walk in the flesh than in a marriage relationship. It's an easy thing to walk in the flesh when you're married. To be biting and cutting and bothered and irritated. It's an easy thing. Unless you are filled with the Spirit and listening to His voice. And you know, the Bible is pretty simple about it. I listen for His leading. I look to Him for leading. In my heart, I will often say, Holy Spirit, You have got to give me the wisdom to be the right kind of husband here, because I'm getting bothered and I'm getting irritated and I'm going to say something and I know I'm going to say the wrong thing. And You help me to know if I do say anything to say the right thing. God, You've got to help me. And even when it's all messed, sometimes I go ahead, walk in the flesh, open the mouth, say something that's wrong, and now it's a bigger problem than it was when we first started, because I'm walking in the flesh. And then I have to say, now, Holy Spirit, I've got to correct this. And You've got to help me to know even how to correct it. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will say, you know, you need to hold her. All right, I know you're bothered, sweetie, and I just offended you, and I'm sorry. Let me hold you. Come, please let me hold you. And the Holy Spirit prompts you, hold your wife. She needs to know that everything's okay. And yeah, she's troubled about the kids, and she's troubled about your finances, and she's troubled about the laundry you left in the floor, and she's troubled about hair in the tub. She's just troubled. But it's not a time for you to get all bothered. It's a time for you to be the Christian God called you to be a Spirit-filled man. Now, don't you sit there and think this morning, wow, I wish I knew what Dave Young knows. Friends, I'm a man just like you. I blow it just like you blow it. I apologize to my wife too. But the only thing I'm learning that's changing my marriage is that when I look to God, when I look to the Holy Spirit and depend on Him to help me in my marriage, it changes everything. It's that simple. The Holy Spirit lives inside of me. I go to God and say, God, You said in Your word... Now, don't debate this theologically. Just take it for what it says. You said in Your word that if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? So I just take that literally. I know people get debatable, and you got to go to seminary to find out that there's major problems with certain texts. And the easiest thing to do is just take something literally. Jesus said, I love you and I care for you and you need help, and if you ask, I'll give you the Holy Spirit. And so I just take that verse and I go, now say, Lord, Your word said if we ask, You'll give us the Spirit. And I nowhere do I need it greater than I do as a husband. Because You want me to love my wife like Jesus loved His church, and God, I can't do it. And so God, I'm depending on You. You've got to help me to be gentle. You've got to help me to be loving. You've got to help me to be caring. You've got to help me to be kind. You've got to help me not to raise my voice. Now, all of us can fail. God, You've got to help me to make it right when I do. If you don't remember the last time you apologized to your wife, I would go out on a limb and say there's a pretty good chance you're not right with God. If your marriage is characterized by your yelling at each other, I'm going to go out on a limb here and just say you're not right with God. If you're irritated at each other and unhappy, and you don't remember the last time you had a loving, fun, flirty, happy relationship, there's something wrong because you're not right with God. That's God's plan for your marriage. Am I making sense? I'm not trying to be too brutal here, but are y'all with me? Are we okay? Is this all right? A Spirit-filled husband recognizes that he cannot be a Christ-like husband without divine help. A Spirit-filled husband depends on the Holy Spirit to help him love like Jesus. A Spirit-filled husband, number three, looks to the Holy Spirit to lead him to an understanding of his wife. A Spirit-filled husband looks, he depends on the Holy Spirit to help him love like Jesus, but he also looks to the Holy Spirit to lead him so that he can understand his wife. You do know, don't you, that she's different. She's not you. Sometimes we wonder, why is there so much problems in marriages? Why is it so hard sometimes? Well, I can answer it. Number one, it's because you're a man and she's a woman. You want a potential for problem? Put a man and a woman together. That's a potential for problem because they're different. Or, am I right or wrong? Your wife isn't like you, is she? She's not like your buddies either. She's a woman designed by God to be different than you. Majorly, right? The average man prioritizes the sexual relationship. His wife, on the other hand, prioritizes affection, communication, and understanding. Is that a potential problem in a marriage? Here's what the average man does. He thinks she ought to prioritize the sexual relationship. She thinks he ought to prioritize affection, communication, and understanding. Is that a potential problem in a marriage? He banishes problems by not bringing them up. She forgets problems by spilling them. Is that a potential problem? See, whereas you as a guy, it's easy for you just to banish a problem. Don't bring it up. Just ignore it. It'll go away. And with your buddies, usually it does, doesn't it? You know, so you got upset at each other. Punch him on the arm. Go off. You'll be fine. Or, you know, if you're one of those kind of guys, you can give him a hug. Come on. Okay, we're fine. You know, that's the man hug, you know. Hug, release. That's a man hug. Your wife's not that way. She banishes problems by remembering them. You ever notice that she remembers them? Am I right? Now you guys are chuckling, but that's how God made her. So you're bothered that she wants to tell you the problem. Because you don't understand that God made her to tell you the problem. That's how she's made. He believes it is important not to talk. She believes it is very important to talk to each other. Guys can go on a trip and not say a word to each other and be best buddies. But your wife, if she's not talking, you got a problem. Isn't that right? I can say to Mike himself, how was your day? And he'll say, it's fine. I know exactly what he means. We're okay. Say to your wife, how was your day? And she goes, it's fine. You see how different we are? You can't understand that lady, can you? You never will. Unless the Holy Spirit of God leads you to understand your wife. To figure her out. You know the reason more men hunt than do women is because it often requires silence? I'm not even being funny, it's the truth. God did not design the lady to sit in a tree stand for 5 hours and say nothing. The best thing that ever happened to help women be hunters is called a cell phone. She can take it with her and call her kids. Now, women do hunt, but is it not true that most hunters are men? So you've got to understand, your wife's not you. God didn't design her to sit while you read the newspaper and sit beside you. God designed her to be the newspaper. You men communicate in headlines. How was your day? Fine. Honey, how was your day? Well, I got out of bed and the alarm went off late and I didn't have anything to wear and my makeup wouldn't go on right and so called. And here's what she said. Here's what I said. Here's what she said. Here's what I said. Here's what she said. Here's what I think she meant by what she said. And I think she thought I meant this by what I said. And then it was 9 o'clock and the kids had to, you know, and you're like, I just wanted to know if all was okay. I just wanted to know if we were okay. Men talk in headlines, women talk in fine print. And you need to know that. Let the Holy Spirit lead you to understand your wife needs you to sit and listen to her. And say things like, well. See, men, it's so funny to us, but you know what? It'll change your marriage if you will let the Holy Spirit lead you to understand that wife. She does need to talk. She does need care. She does need affection. And some of you guys are pretty good buddies with the guy at work, but you're not at home. Because you do not understand her, because you've never allowed the divine Holy Spirit that lives inside of you to teach you about the wife you are living with. And the most amazing thing about your wife is she changes all the time. The reason it's difficult to understand a woman is because you figure it out on Monday and she'll be somebody different on Tuesday. They're complicated creations of God. But see, God made your wife. This is not a, we can chuckle about it as men, and if we're not careful, become redneck. That's just what the women are, you know, man. That's just what they. This is not about being a redneck. This is about being a man of God who says, I'm to be Christ to my wife. And God, there ain't no way. And God says, I know. So if you'll let me, I'll fill you with my Spirit. And if you'll listen to my voice, I can help you to learn how to love her. How to listen and understand what she's saying. See, God designed you men to fix things. So your wife comes to you and she starts telling you, da 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 da. Honey, that's what you can do about that. And now she's mad. And you're like, you have a problem, I can fix it, because I am a man. Do you know that she doesn't want you to fix it? Now, this is a hard one. This is even hard for me to say. She wants you to... I can say it. She wants you to feel it. There's a major difference in fix it and feel it. And you know, only the Holy Spirit of God can help you to feel what your wife is saying. See, that's who she is. God designed her that way. God designed your wife to be the lady that she is. And she's designed to feel things. She feels it. I can get on to my kids if they're in trouble. It doesn't bother me a bit. Listen, pal. I brought you in this world. I can take you out. I can fix it. And I'm fixing a very definite need. This needs to be done. And my wife's crying about it. She's not against me. She just feels it. That's how God designed her. Only the Holy Spirit of God can help me to see that. This is not a psychoanalysis, psychological, psychiatric matter. This is divine. My wife wants me to feel. My dad got it. Well. And my mom... That's all she needed. She didn't need my dad to go, you know what, you need to do this and this and this and this. So you having problems with those kids? I'll tell you. You get out of bed at this time and just get organized. Here's a schedule for the next week. And if you'll just follow this schedule right here, honey, this will help you to homeschool those youngins of ours. And then you're wondering why you have that big lump on your head. And you're like, what did I do? Because I just fixed her problem. She doesn't want you to fix it. She just wants you to feel it. That's what happened on my last date there when I went out and sat at coffee shop and my wife just spills it and she's in tears and she's frustrated and the kids and me and Mike himself. And she just, I'm just kidding, Mike. You were not in that conversation. You have been a few times, but not in that one. And she just spills it. I mean, she just unloads it. And you know, and I'm in my heart thinking, what in the world? I'm not this bad, am I? It's not about me being bad. It's about my wife is feeling things and she wants me to feel it and to listen and try to understand it. And so these days my wife's talking to me. My heart is saying this. Holy Spirit, help me to be like Jesus. Dear Holy Spirit, help me to respond to my wife gently and lovingly and graciously and know what to say and help me to know what I shouldn't say. Help. Help. God, your word says I'm to understand her because she's a weaker vessel. She's not me. She's more valuable. She's fragile. She's designed to be emotional. And God, I don't get it. I mean, I'm emotional at times, aren't you? I was emotional last night on It Is Well With My Soul. Praise God. There was emotion all over this room. And since it's only guys here, we were okay with it. We're guys, so we can be a little emotional. But
But then it's our wife. And you're like, what is this woman? Who is this person I married? What in the world? You've got to understand her, and you can't do it on your own. But you have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you that can fill you and prompt you and lead you and direct you if you'll seek His face about it, if you'll daily listen to Him. Don't open your mouth until you've said, Holy Spirit, help me to speak gently. Holy Spirit, help me to say this lovingly like you would to me. Holy Spirit, you've got to give me the wisdom to know how to help my wife right here, if at all I need to help her. Holy Spirit, help me to listen to her and be engaged. Help me just to listen. And help me to show sympathy and care. Because that's my wife. Jesus, help me to be like you are. Help me to be to her like you are to me. He's so loving to me. Are you this way? If you knew sometimes the things that goes on in my heart, you wouldn't listen to me preach. You'd say, there's no way. But on the other hand, if I knew the things going on in your heart, I wouldn't think you were a great Christian at times, would I? And God knows every one of them. I can fake it in front of you at times. I don't want you to know the real me at times. But He still loves me. And He knows it all. And He cares about me. And He handles me tenderly and gently. I ought to be in hell. I ought to be banished. I shouldn't be a part of God's family. My wicked heart. And yet He loves me. And He calls me to Himself. And He treats me gently and kindly and lovingly and graciously. Just like I'm to treat my wife. And I can't do it. And you will never be able to do it. Unless you are filled with the Spirit of God and listening for His voice and looking into God's Word and learning how to be a godly husband. How do you handle this feel thing before we go? How do you handle it? Well, I just learned that she wants you to understand how she feels about an issue, and she wants you to be sorry if you made her feel that way, and she wants you to let her know that you love her with all of your heart, and she wants you to ask forgiveness for making her feel that way. That's something the Holy Spirit's helped me to understand. So I even wrote it down. I wrote it down. Say it like this. This is how the Holy Spirit helped me to learn it. Honey, I think I understand how you feel. And I just want you to know that I'm sorry I made you feel that way. I love you with all of my heart, and I want you to forgive me for that. Now, can we make out? Okay, leave off the last statement, okay? I just threw that in to see if you were listening. Can you see how simple that is? The Holy Spirit alone is the only one who can help you to be that. That's your wife. I put in my notes this little outline. Your wife is different. She's different from you. She's delicate. Peter says she's a weaker vessel. She usually is more physically weak than you would be. Not always. Some of your wives could whip the socks off of you. Physically, she's more weak. Emotionally, she's more weak because she feels things. One of the reasons God put you as the leader is because He knows that leadership demands consistent, steady stability. And He knows that your wife is designed by Him more emotionally. She's weaker that way. She responds to things emotionally, whereas in your home, God wants you to respond to things as the leader. God wants you to know the right thing and to do the right thing and to lead your home gently and lovingly as Christ leads us in His church. There's no place for a man to be harsh in his home. Some of you men don't get this love thing. Some of you men think of love as that tough love. Our forefathers, some of our past generation, well, I loved them. Spanked the daylights out of them, didn't I? I love them. I worked hard, didn't I? Because you don't get love. 1 Corinthians says love is kind, gentle. You may have been a good hard worker for your family, but you didn't love them. because you weren't loving and kind and gentle, and you never said it. You spanked him because you were mad. Not because you were a gentle, loving father who desperately wanted your children to know Jesus and love him. Gentlemen, I'm telling you, isn't it amazing how the devil comes along and even takes the issue of love and makes us think we're loving when we're not? Of course I love them. Look at what I did for my kids. But you never one time were gentle. You don't even know what the hurts are of their heart, and you don't even care about it. And you treat your wife the same way. Some of you have a wife right now back home, and she's been busy with the kids, and it's been a busy weekend, and she some of your wives are just busy. They're hurting. They never get to talk to another woman. They talk to 3-year-old all day. And you know, it's not easy. You need to love them. She's the weaker vessel. You're to understand that about your wife. Some of you guys act like you're the weaker vessel. Honey, get me a drink of water, would you? Hey, baby doll, did you take care of this for me? Serve me. Why are you that way? She's the weaker vessel. When have you served her? When have you gotten her a drink of water? When have you said, honey, you've been home with the kids all day and I'm tired, but you know what? I'm going to take care of the kids tonight. Why don't you take this $100 bill and go down the mall a little while and shop? She's a weaker vessel. We men got this love thing backwards. It's focused on us and not her. That was probably not right to throw that $100 bill shopping thing in there, was it? Don't you guys be so hard. Y'all are rednecks around here. I know you'll spend $800 on a new 12-gauge shotgun. You spend $100 a year on your hunting and fishing licenses. Don't give me that. If you want that brand new 4-wheel drive pickup truck with a get her done sign in the windshield, you'll go buy it. It's right, isn't it? So maybe you ought to sell your gun and love your wife. That was too far, wasn't it? That was just too far. So in my notes, I said she's different, she's delicate, she's detailed. That's why you get a 30-minute explanation to a 5-minute phone conversation. She's detailed. God made her that way. You got to understand that. I did put in my notes, and I'm out of time, and I almost wouldn't say it, but it just made me chuckle this morning. She's sometimes delirious because God made her that way. You think, what in the world is... Where in the world did that come from? Because God made her emotionally. That's just how she is. Some of you guys, you know, your wife's, you know, where you are in your marriage, you're newlyweds, and some of your wives are going through her change, what our world calls menopause. I read an article recently that if you want to know how to handle menopause, say the word slowly. Men of pause. That's good. That's good. Don't answer any question during that time of your life. Honey, did you like the meatloaf? Don't answer. Honey, did you notice the hairs growing on my chin? Don't answer. She's barefoot at 3 a.m. walking in the snow. Pause. Do not say things like, "What are you doing? Don't we need help?" Man, you and I can sit here and laugh about it, but you're going home today to a wife that needs you to be a spirit-filled husband. And it's a lifelong process. And I wish I had the answers completely. So I can't stand here and give you the answers for your situation. But if you're a child of God, the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you. And he has the answer you need. Will you look to him and ask him to fill you and walk in his power and let him lead you? I'm telling you, I preach on the family all the time. I've read almost every book you can buy on being the right kind of husband because I speak on it so much. But any success I have as a husband is because one day in my life, I said to the Holy Spirit, I can't.
But if you'll fill me and lead me, I'll obey. And when I listen to his voice and follow his leading, my marriage is what it ought to be. That's it. You have the same Holy Spirit I have, who can take the same word of God I have and help you to be a gentle, loving, gracious, understanding, Christ-like man of God. 2015 may be the best year of your life if you'll learn what I just said. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray for my brothers and me that you will help every one of us to be filled with the Spirit of God this morning. And as we go home this afternoon or whenever it is, that you'll help us to learn how to walk in your Spirit as husbands. God, we get so easily bothered. Lord, you know that's how we are. We get so irritated. We get so self-focused. We get so wrapped up in me, and my stuff and my money. And God, we're not like you. Jesus, we are not like you. And Lord, if there's one thing I know and there's one thing every man in this room knows, we can't. We don't have the ability to be loving like Jesus. So Spirit of God, please fill us. And Spirit of God, please help us. Lord, there's probably a man in the room right now and his marriage stinks. And it's a mess. And only you can change it. But you want to change him to change his marriage. God, please do your work in our lives, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.